1984, Honolulu, Hawaii. In a large conference hall, Taco Bell's new CEO, John Martin, walks across the stage to a table loaded with meringue pies. Several hundred Taco Bell franchisees watch as he picks up the smallest pie. It's about the size of a Hostess cupcake. Martin isn't what the franchisees expected. They imagined he'd be another buttoned-up executive. But he's actually a 38-year-old showman who rides a Harley and wears Hawaiian shirts. Martin lifts the tiny pie into the air.
This here pie represents the Mexican fast food market. It's worth $1 billion. We own 2/3 of this pie.
Martin turns his head to look up at the pie.
It's a nice pie and all, but it's not very big.
Martin puts it back on the table and picks up a much larger pie.
Now this pie represents the whole fast food business. It's worth $37 billion. Even a small slice of this pie is worth way more than the pie I just put down. This is the pie I want to slice up. We need to stop worrying about the Del Tacos of this world. We're in fast food, not Mexican fast food. Our rivals are Hardee's, Burger King, and yes, McDonald's.
Wow. The audience gasps. A red-haired clown in a yellow jumpsuit just walked on stage. Ronald McDonald is in the building.
Hey, get off the stage!
The Taco Bell franchisees boo. Martin feigns surprise at the arrival of McDonald's spokes clown.
Ronald McDonald, what are you doing here? This is Taco Bell turf. We don't want you and your plastic hamburgers here.
Yeah. Ronald swaggers up to Martin and plants his fists on his hips.
Give me that pie.
Why?
Because I'm Ronald McDonald and I want the whole pie for myself.
Martin looks at the crowd, winks, and turns back to the clown.
You want the whole pie?
Yes, I do.
All right, then.
The franchisees roar in approval as Martin smashes the meringue pie into Ronald McDonald's face. Ronald blinks in shock and then falls backwards onto the stage floor. The franchisees eat it up. Martin smiles. He's given them a new enemy to fight and a new reason to bring their A-game. But landing even a single punch on McDonald's isn't going to be easy. Taco Bell is an out-of-shape featherweight, squaring up to the heavyweight champion. Sales fell 16% in the past 5 years. Most Americans still don't know a taco from a tamale. And industry experts predict Taco Bell will be finished before the 80s are over. But Martin's about to prove them wrong. And when he does, McDonald's will feel the heat. But years later, Ronald McDonald will get his revenge by helping a Denver burrito chain called Chipotle muscle in on the Mexican fast food market. Tools and Weapons is a podcast exploring the promise and the peril of the digital age, hosted by Microsoft's vice chair and president, Brad Smith. His latest guest is Bayer CEO Bill Anderson. Though many of us know Bayer for its pharmaceuticals, they're also focused on crop science with the goal of making sure no one on planet Earth goes hungry. On Tools and Weapons, Brad and Bill talk about how the German company is using artificial intelligence paired with CRISPR technology to increase food production without fertilizers. Their efforts put AI and digital tools in the hands of farmers to get the most out of every acre on a hotter, more crowded planet. It's the latest conversation in a series that invites listeners to pull up a front row seat to some of the most important developments in technology today. You can check out this episode and a whole lot more of Tools and Weapons with Brad Smith wherever you get your podcasts.
If you travel, you know how to pull off a perfect getaway. You know after you enroll with your Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card, you get up to $10 back monthly on U.S. rideshare purchases with select providers, like a car to the airport. You know which remote retreats have the best herbal baths and where the Wi-Fi password is rarely used. Because you're the escape artist. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Purchases must be on card. Visit go.amex/you know.
From Wondery, I'm David Brown, and this is Business Wars. You know, these days you're rarely far from a quick-fix Mexican meal. America's cities and suburbs teem with thousands of taco and burrito makers ready to feed a national hunger worth $77 billion a year. And at the top of the whole enchilada are the stars of our new season, Taco Bell and Chipotle. Taco Bell is the market leader, a $12 billion gorilla with more than 7,000 restaurants that pushes the frontiers of Mexican food and shreds fast food conventions. The industry's number two, Chipotle, is no less revolutionary. It's a $6 billion giant with nearly 3,000 locations that reinvented fast food for the 21st century and won fans by shunning industrial farming. But before Chipotle could rise, Taco Bell had to convince America to ditch the burgers and start eating Mexican. This is Episode 1, Demolition Man. July 1985, Logansport, Indiana. Raymond steps into the town's Taco Bell and feels bewildered. The menu's boards adorned with pictures of meat-filled tacos loaded with lettuce and cheese. Raymond struggles to imagine how you'd even eat one, let alone what it might taste like. He's never visited Taco Bell before. The nearest he's ever come to a Mexican meal before is a chili dog. The woman behind the counter smiles.
Welcome to Taco Bell. What can I get you?
I saw an ad in the paper for a pizza.
That'd be our new pizzazz pizza. You want that?
Yeah, and a Pepsi.
Soon after, Raymond carries a small pizza box to one of the tables and lifts the lid. Inside is something round, but it sure isn't pizza. Instead of bread, there's two thin, crisp tortillas. Between the tortillas is a brown mix of refried beans and ground beef. The whole thing's covered in melted cheese, sprinkled with diced olives and chopped tomatoes and cut into four slices. Raymond stares at the Mexican-Italian mashup and takes a slice. Ribbons of gooey cheese stretch and tear as he brings it to his mouth and bites. The crisp tortillas snap. Raymond's eyes widen in surprise at the taste of the tangy cheese and meat. There's a faint hint of pepper, but it's not the hot and spicy fare he imagined Taco Bell serves. The woman who just served him stops as she walks by.
You like it?
Yeah. Next time I might try a taco.
The woman smiles. Pizzazz Pizza is doing exactly what it's meant to do. Lure in skeptical customers who feel comfortable with pizza, but have never so much as blinked at a taco. Taco Bell's Mexican-inspired pizza is all part of CEO John Martin's plan to take the brand mainstream. He's on a mission to gobble up market share. He's already introduced new airy buildings with drive-through windows that could be mistaken for a McDonald's. And he's accelerated the opening of new Taco Bells from less than 100 to more than 300 a year. But the biggest challenge is the food. If Taco Bell wants to take on McDonald's, it must convince Main Street America to eat Mexican. And that's where the pizzazz pizza comes in. It makes the unfamiliar familiar by letting folks experience the Taco Bell taste in an easier-to-understand form. Even the name is there to put the wary at ease. Taco Bell planned to call it the Mexican Pizza, but in tests, target customers said the word Mexican made them think it would be too spicy. So, Taco Bell renamed it Pizzazz Pizza and introduced it to the nation with a barrage of ads.
Get ready, get set. To get struck by pizzazz. It's a different kind of pizza. Only Taco Bell has. Pizzazz pizza is
Alright!
It's cheesy like
a pizza,
but it's really crisp and light.
Get to Taco Bell and get struck by the never-before taste of new pizzazz pizza.
Pizzazz pizza is a hit, and Taco Bell follows it with more menu additions, including soft tacos, nachos, and even a seafood salad. Each edition fires up demand by giving fans a fresh reason to drop by, while also broadening the chain's appeal to new customers. By 1987, Taco Bell's racking up $1.5 billion of sales a year,
and CEO John Martin's plotting his biggest menu addition yet, fajitas. Taco Bell spends $30 million installing fajita grills in its 2,500 restaurants, and soon regrets it. Fajitas are the most complex addition to the chain's menu yet, and they slow down the kitchens. As the wait lines grow, time-pressed customers head elsewhere. Restaurants hire more workers to speed up service, but the extra wages hammer profits. By the late 80s, Taco Bell's growth spurt comes to a sudden halt. And with the restaurants unable to cope with further menu additions, Martin decides it's time to do something no fast food chain's done before. ...1988, Irvine, California. In a meeting room inside Taco Bell headquarters, CEO John Martin is about to reveal his latest plan to his executives. And they know this plan is make or break. All year, they've been seeking a path back to growth. They've filled burritos with more meat, run all-you-can-eat promotions, and sold tacos for 39 cents. And nothing's worked. Now, the bosses at PepsiCo, which owns Taco Bell, are getting restless. They wonder if the Hawaiian-shirted CEO's winning streak is over. Word is, if Martin doesn't fix things soon, he's getting fired. Martin sits at the head of the table and starts the meeting. Right now, Taco Bell is a place for people to go for a change of pace. But we need to be a place people eat at every day. We need to get the heavy users. The executives nod. Heavy users are the most valuable customers in fast food. They eat fast food almost every day and make up 70% of all sales. Heavy users don't think we're good value. They think 79 cents for a taco is too much. We have to listen to that, an executive interrupts. We tested 39-cent tacos and we lost money even though sales rose 21%.
39 cents was too low, but that's the wrong lesson. The real lesson is the huge rise in sales. I believe the excessive spending of recent years is over. People are getting price sensitive again. So we're going to offer a value menu. 6 items that each cost 59 cents. I'm thinking original tacos, soft tacos.
A finance executive grabs his calculator, punches in some numbers, and looks concerned.
John, this won't work. The profit on 59-cent items is just too slim. To make it work, we'd need to reduce food quality.
No, value means price and quality. People want value, and that's what we'll give them.
But the numbers don't add up.
They will if we radically change our operations.
What exactly are you suggesting?
Our restaurant should retail food, not manufacture it. We move food preparation to central facilities that make the food, package it in airtight bags, and ship it out to the restaurants. All the restaurants would then need is hot water to reheat the food.
We're going boil in the bag?
Well, it makes sense. We save money on labor, ease the training burden on restaurants, and get more control over quality and hygiene. And since the restaurants won't need big kitchens, we can turn more space over to customer seating.
Martin senses the executives are warming to the plan. He leans forward.
Now, with these changes, we can commit to offering a value menu for the long term, not just a few quarters.
One executive looks concerned.
We might start a price war.
Oh, sure, but if competitors try to match our prices without changing their operations, all they're going to do is sacrifice their profits.
Smiles break out around the room. In late 1988, Taco Bell's value menu arrives.
There's something over there you can't get anywhere. We're the best food in town, it's the best price around. It's easy to tell, this is a new Taco Bell.
You can't beat our 59-cent value menu, Taco Bell, where the best food meets an even better price.
Make a ride.
Taco Bell's price drop sucker punches the competition. At first, rivals assume it's a short-term gimmick. But as the months pass, the truth becomes clear. Taco Bell's low prices are here to stay.
and they're sucking away customers fast. Taco Bell sales grow more than 10% in 1989, compared to the industry average of 3%. As the brand joins the ranks of the nation's top 10 fast food chains, panic breaks out in Burgerland. Wendy's is the first to wake up to the threat. In October 1989, it launches its own value menu and dials up the heat on McDonald's. In 1991, McDonald's introduces a value menu to stop the customer exodus. By 1992, Taco Bell's booming. That year, sales hit $3.3 billion, up from $1.6 billion just 4 years earlier. And soon, Hollywood comes knocking. In 1993, Sylvester Stallone's latest action movie, Demolition Man, hits cinemas. In it, Stallone plays a cop who gets cryogenically frozen in 1996 before being reheated in the year 2030. And it's a future full of surprises.
So, what's with this cocktail guy anyway? He says I saved his life, which I'm not even sure I did, and my reward is dinner and dancing at Taco Bell. I mean, hey, I like Mexican food, but come on.
Your tone is quasi-facetious, but you do not realize that Taco Bell was the only restaurant to survive the franchise wars.
So?
So? Now all restaurants are Taco Bell.
No way.
10 years earlier, the idea of Taco Bell winning the fast food wars seemed laughable. But with its value menu stealing McDonald's customers, and salsa now outselling ketchup, the idea is no longer so far-fetched. Taco Bell has catapulted itself and Mexican food into the mainstream. And with 10 times the locations of its nearest rival, Taco Bell's dominance of Mexican fast food looks built to last. But on the streets of San Francisco, someone's cooking up a business recipe that'll change all that. You know, Audible has a brand new collection of exclusive thrillers. Every move is made more exciting by captivating sound design, eerie soundscapes, and dynamic performances. I just downloaded The Grand Opening by Carl Weber. It's a mystery about a family business in a small southern town, and there are secrets around every turn. You know, when I'm listening, the time just disappears, getting completely immersed in the story and the performances. And as an Audible member, you get to keep one title a month from their entire catalog, including bestsellers and new releases. So come on, listen along. New members can try Audible now free for 30 days. Head on over to audible.com/BW or just text BW to 500-500. That's audible.com/BW or text BW to 500-500 to try Audible free for 30 days.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. You can earn 4 times points on your top 2 eligible spending categories every month, like transit, U.S. restaurants, and gas stations. That's the powerful backing of American Express. 4 times points on up to $150,000 in purchases per year. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
''91, San Francisco. Steve Ells follows his friend into one of the Mission District's many taquerias. Ells is rake thin and out to make it big in fine dining. But as an apprentice at a high-end restaurant, money's tight for this Colorado native, so his new pal is introducing him to some of the city's best value eats. As Ells enters the taqueria, his glasses steam up. It's lunchtime and the place is hot and crowded. The smell of stewing pork fills the air. Ell's friend grins.
The burritos here are the bomb. They're cheap and will fill you up for the day. The Mexicans I know swear by this place.
Ell's wipes the condensation from his glasses and looks around. The place is basic, verging on disrepair. A counter runs down the length of the restaurant. Behind it, workers are racing to take orders and assemble burritos. The line shuffles forward. Ell's friend puts in the order.
Hola, 2 burritos, carnitas with a works.
The man behind the counter springs into action. He grabs enormous 13-inch tortillas and starts slapping ingredients onto them like an abstract painter. Splashes of pinto beans, dollops of juicy shredded pork, blasts of rice from a wooden spoon, drizzles of green salsa, smears of guacamole, and squirts of sour cream. Els is amazed. It's quick as any fast food chain, but the ingredients are a world away from the heavily processed food he associates with Taco Bell and McDonald's. The worker finishes piling on ingredients and quickly folds, flips, and rolls the tortillas into fat burritos before wrapping them in foil. After finding a seat, Els immediately removes the foil. His friend is horrified.
No. What are you doing? Put the foil back on.
But I need to unwrap it to eat.
Huh? No, you don't. You eat it like this.
El's friend peels back some of the foil to expose the burrito and takes a big bite.
Ah, okay. You know, that's not how people eat burritos in Colorado, right?
Really?
Yeah, we put ours on a plate, smother it in cheese and green chili, and eat it with a knife and fork. Also, our burritos aren't this big.
Well, I guess mission-style burritos are built to eat on the go.
Els rewraps the foil around his burrito and takes a bite. It's not just good. It's great. With deep, nuanced flavors. He looks at his friend.
Wow, this is fantastic. Like fast food service and prices, but with real food. Look, I can see the beans. They're not just mush.
Over the next year, Els becomes a regular at the taquerias in San Francisco's Mission District. They're places he can fill his grumbling stomach for a few bucks while still satisfying his inner food snob. And the more time he spends at them, the more curious he gets about their business model. He starts to count how many customers they serve each minute and uses his knowledge of restaurants to estimate how much these places are spending on food and labor. The numbers are a shock. They might look shabby, but these taquerias make good money. And that gives him an idea. El's dream is to earn enough to return to Colorado and open a fine dining restaurant. But what if he went home now and opened a taqueria? Then he could make the money for his dream restaurant way quicker. So, in 1993, Els hands in his notice, packs his suitcase, and heads home. 1993, Els' home, Boulder, Colorado. In the dining room, Els' friends sit at the table drinking while he prepares their dinner. One friend lowers her voice.
Has Steve said what he's doing next? I can't believe he quit working for Jeremiah Towers. Who gives up that kind of opportunity?
Monty Moran leans forward. He's an athletic lawyer who first met Els when they were students at the University of Colorado in the late 80s.
All I know is whatever he's cooking in there smells great.
Amen to that.
Els comes out of the kitchen carrying a bunch of red plastic baskets. He puts them in front of his guests. In each one is the fattest burrito they've ever seen.
What's this?
A mission-style burrito. Flour tortilla with roasted pork shoulder, cilantro lime rice, pinto beans with bacon, grated cheese, creme fraiche, and a corn salsa.
Moran sniffs his burrito.
Smells fantastic, but I think we need knives and forks.
No, you eat this with your hands. Go on, try it.
Els watches his pals take their first bites. He wants to see the looks on their faces.
Wow. This is kind of big.
Els smiles at the positive reactions. Moran finishes his mouthful.
Well, Steve, it's like you've taken some basic street food and made it extraordinary.
Thanks. That's reassuring because I'm going to open a burrito place in Denver.
The friends stop munching their burritos.
Huh, I thought you wanted to open a proper restaurant.
I do, but I need money to do that. The places selling these burritos in San Francisco make good money. So I can make the money I need by opening one here where there's no competition.
Taco Bell?
Seriously? You're comparing my food to Taco Bell?
No, I'm just saying that's where people go. You gotta get them to switch.
Do I? I'm offering something different.
Better. Real food that tastes great. Also, the kitchen will be on view. I think people don't want to be told something's fresh. They want to see the proof. So I'm gonna have a real kitchen with meat sizzling on the grill, beans simmering on the stove, people chopping avocados.
Customers will see their food being assembled the way they want it as they move down the line.
How can you do all that without it taking forever?
Well, burritos are quick to assemble. Customers will just pick what they want as they move down the line. It takes just seconds to add the ingredients.
But quality ingredients are expensive, right? I mean, how much are you charging?
$5 a burrito. Guac is extra.
Steve, that's real expensive. Doesn't Taco Bell sell burritos for less than a dollar?
I think people will pay for high quality. Moran smiles.
Well, I think it's a good idea. You got a name?
Elle smiles, too. Yeah, Chipotle. Chipotle peppers have such depth of flavor. I think they really capture how I'm trying to elevate the fast food experience. What do you think?
Huh, Steve, I don't think that's a good name. People won't know how to say it.
They'll learn.
A few days later, Els convinces his dad, a pharmaceutical industry executive, to invest $85,000 in his burrito venture. But even with Dad's help, money's tight. Unable to afford a high-traffic location, he leases a former ice cream store close to the University of Denver campus. To save money on decor, he visits hardware stores and buys the cheapest materials he can find: plywood, corrugated metal, and steel light fixtures. As a result, Chipotle gets a utilitarian look that further sets it apart from the big fast food chains. On July 13th, 1993, Chipotle opens its doors. It's only got seating for 20 people, but with a focus on making great burritos fast, it quickly captures the stomachs of well-heeled students. Soon, there are lines stretching out the door. Within a month, Els is selling 1,000 of his $5 burritos every day, far more than the 100 a day he needs to break even. The demand is so great that Els decides to open a second location. He figures that with two stores, he'll have the money for his upscale restaurant in no time. Then, he thinks three Chipotles are better than two. So, he gets a loan from the federal government's Small Business Administration and opens a third Chipotle. And as the money rolls in, Els realizes he's stumbled upon something special. Day by day, the plan to open that high-end restaurant fades, and Els starts wondering just how big Chipotle can get. But while Els' ambitions are growing, Taco Bell's running out of sizzle.
We get support from Acura. The spirit of performance is what defines Acura. And now, it's electric. Introducing the ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com. We get support from Court. You know, the way people work is changing, and the workplace itself needs to change too. But what if flexibility wasn't just an option? With Court's flexible furniture solutions, you can create agile work environments that become your team's greatest advantage. Save capital with swing spaces, attract top talent with collaborative environments, and create connected spaces that employees will love. Flexibility is the future, and Court Furniture Rental helps you embrace it. Learn more at Court, that's CORT.com/office.
May 1995, a Taco Bell in New York City. CEO John Martin freezes as people surge towards the counter. It's just hit 1 p.m., and that means the biggest food giveaway in restaurant history is on. A mass of bodies presses up against the counter, shouting orders and waving their hands. None of them know or care that he's the CEO of Taco Bell. They just want their free lunch.
Whoa there, everybody. Your free Border Lights meals are coming right up. If you also want a drink, let me know, because those aren't free.
Martin grins as he hands out the bags of free food. The people at the front snatch them from his hands and sink back into the crowd to be replaced by new faces. Martin feels like he's in a shark tank waving around a giant steak. And this $16 million giveaway won't be over for another 3 hours.
But deep down, Martin knows this giveaway is a last-ditch attempt to drag himself out of a hole of his own making. 2 years ago, Taco Bell's explosive growth ended when its fast food rivals finally neutralized its value menu with their own cut price options. So Martin hit on a new plan for attracting new customers, a low-fat menu to appeal to the health conscious. They named it Border Lights and started customer testing. But Martin ended the tests after just 3 months and ordered a coast-to-coast rollout. Now, he's paying the price for his impatience. The Border Lights menu added another 8 ingredients for Taco Bell restaurants to handle, and that's massively slowed down the cruise. Before Border Lights, Taco Bell's churned out orders in less than 3 minutes on average. Now, the average order takes more than 5 minutes. For a business that sells most of its food in the 2-hour lunchtime window, that slowdown is fatal. Before Border Lights, a Taco Bell could sell $900 of food an hour. Now, they manage less than $500. Instead of growing the business, Border Lights is strangling it. So Martin ordered a massive giveaway in the hope that it would switch enough people onto Taco Bell's low-fat options to make up for the shortfall. That day, Taco Bell gives away millions of Border Lights meals. But it makes no difference. With sales sliding, Taco Bell quietly drops Border Lights, and Martin resigns after 13 years in charge. By then, Taco Bell's corporate overlord, PepsiCo, has decided to get out of the fast food game. In January 1997, it announces it will spin off Taco Bell, KFC, and Pizza Hut into an independent company called Tricon Global Restaurants. Taco Bell is now the problem child of the Tricon family, and the pressure's on to find a fix. And that's when Taco Bell's ad agency comes up with an offbeat campaign idea that seems like the perfect attention grabber. July 1997, a recording studio in Los Angeles. Voice actor Carlos Alazraki stands before the microphone and waits for instructions. He got the call yesterday. Taco Bell is working on a new ad campaign starring a chihuahua who says, "Yo quiero Taco Bell. I want Taco Bell." Alazraki's job is to voice that doggy. The ad executives in the booth stop chattering among themselves and speak to Alazraki through his headphones.
"Okay, Carlos, so to reiterate, you're a street chihuahua and you want the Taco Bell that some guy's eating. But you're not really a dog. The dog's really the Taco Bell customer. He's like a 19-year-old trapped in a dog's body. A cool 19-year-old, you know? We want Taco Bell customers to see themselves in this dog." Okay. Shall I just go ahead?" Yeah, we're ready."
"Hey, yo quiero Taco Bell."
A little bit too aggressive. Let's go again."
"Hey, yo quiero Taco Bell."
Yeah, not working for me. We could,
What if I try it like I'm asking for privileged information?"
Okay, sure, give it a go."
"Psst, yo quiero Taco Bell."
Alazraki waits as the men in the booth talk amongst themselves. He sees them smile. The ad man comes back over the headphones.
"I think you just nailed it. Let's work with that."
Couple of weeks later, the new ads debut with a bug-eyed chihuahua begging for Taco Bell. The campaign immediately catches fire. "Yo quiero Taco Bell" becomes a national catchphrase. The dog in the ads lands movie roles and appears on Access Hollywood. Entertainment Weekly declares the chihuahua a hot trend, and Taco Bell restaurants do brisk trade in toy chihuahuas. The chihuahua is so popular that Jack in the Box launches a parody ad where Taco Bell's chihuahua meets the burger chain's snarky clown.
"Yo quiero Taco Bell."
"Yeah, so?"
"You're a dog."
"It's not like dogs are picky. Do me a favor, tell your owner about the sourdough jack. It's a juicy quarter-pound patty covered with melting cheese and bacon stacked on crunchy sourdough bread. It's amazing."
But for all the buzz, Taco Bell's still barking up the wrong tree. Instead of rising, Taco Bell sales fall. The dog might delight the chain's most loyal fans, but it's not enticing anyone else to try Taco Bell. And as Taco Bell struggles, Chipotle is getting intimate with its biggest enemy. Late 1997. In a Chipotle in Denver, founder Steve Ells is sitting with three VIP guests who've flown in from Chicago to check out what he's doing. As they tuck into their foil-wrapped burritos, Ells updates them on the state of his business.
We now have 16 locations, all in the greater Denver area.
One of the men looks at the minimalist interior.
Do all your locations look as bare bones as this?
Yeah, I didn't have much money starting out, so I used really functional fittings. But it's become part of the identity. It echoes what we're about. Realness, authenticity. It's why we have the open kitchen. That way people can see the foods made fresh. Shows we're a different kind of fast food place.
Another member of the group puts down the burrito he's been devouring.
Well, the food's great, but $5, you know, that's a lot. How many do you sell each day?
This restaurant's doing nearly 1,000 burritos a day. That's not untypical. Annual sales are about $14 million. People pay more because of the quality, and it's all word of mouth. We don't advertise.
The men look impressed. They've also noticed that the young people eating in Chipotle are wealthier than the average fast food crowd. They've got mobile phones and designer clothes. One of the men leans forward and looks Ells in the eyes.
So tell me, why did you send us your business plan? What is it that you're hoping we at McDonald's can do for Chipotle? I hope you'll invest and help Chipotle grow. My plan was to use Chipotle to fund a fine dining restaurant, but now I think I've got something bigger than that here, something that could one day be national. But to get there, I need help. And I figured, well, who better than McDonald's, the world's biggest restaurant chain?
The visitors from McDonald's smile.
Well, your timing certainly is good. Our sales have been flat for years, and we're looking to diversify by investing in young restaurants that have strong growth potential. Seems to me Chipotle fits this description. So, tell me, would you be open to us buying a minority stake?
Ells grins. He most certainly would. In early 1998, McDonald's buys a 20% stake in Chipotle. Ells Burrito Chain now has the backing of the biggest fast food brand on earth. And soon, it'll be drawing on McDonald's resources to challenge Taco Bell's dominance of Mexican fast food in the USA. On the next episode, a Californian burger man turbocharges the taco, PepsiCo battles Heinz for control of Taco Bell, and some thieving kids give a taco stand a helping hand.
Hey, Prime members, you can binge every episode of Business Wars ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
From Wondery, this is episode 1 of Taco Bell versus Chipotle for Business Wars. A quick note about recreations you've been hearing. In most cases, we can't know exactly what was said. Those scenes are dramatizations, but they're based on historical research. If you'd like to read more about the history of Mexican food in the USA, we recommend Taco USA, How Mexican Food Conquered America by Gustavo Arellano. I'm your host, David Brown. Tristan Donovan wrote this story, voice acting by Michelle Philippi. Karen Lowe is our senior producer and editor. Edited and produced by Emily Frost. Sound designed by Ryan Potesta. Our producer is Dave Schilling. Our executive producers are Jenny Lauer-Beckman and Marshall Louie. Created by Hernan Lopez for Wondery.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient.
Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.